headed back in. Turned in! A second of the game for Van Veen, and he is loving it. Cornelius on the edge of the ball. Oh, wow! How special is that for his first Motherwell goal? For Slatnick, and he shot away. It's a fantastic strike. And it's thundered in by Liam Grimshaw. What a moment for him, the fans' favourite.
Hello and welcome to the MFC podcast. There's no Pepe tonight, and we've got two games to look back on. I'll do that in the company of Jaffa. How you going, mate?
Doing well, mate. Doing well. Feeling extraordinarily smug after last week's predictions.
Yeah, and I'm not feeling quite as good. Well, I'm feeling good about the results, not quite as much as what I predicted on last week's episode. Let's get right into it, and I'll try and summarise the last 7 days on the park from a Motherwell point of view. Celtic Park last Saturday ended in a narrow defeat. We scored a goal, which had been a long time coming. A comedy own goal, albeit. In the end, probably quite pleased just to escape unscathed, or I certainly was. We'll hear Jaffa's take on it in just a second. Then we moved on to Ross County on Tuesday night, and after taking the lead in the first half, courtesy of Kevin Van Veen's first half penalty, the second half went incredibly well. Ends in a 5-0 thumping, a hat-trick for Kevin Van Veen, Joe Efford on target, Callum Slattery scoring on his comeback match as well. An incredible night and a fantastic result that really kind of solidified the viewpoint of both Pepe and Jaffa last week, who said that we were due to give someone a tanking. We certainly did. It won't be much of a surprise to anyone listening that there's one game we'll talk about in quite a lot of depth, one game not so much. So let's get the Celtic one out the way. First of all, Jaffa, you were quite upbeat about the game last week. So I suppose you wouldn't have been too surprised that we came so close to taking away a result.
No, to be honest, I was kind of going into the game on the back of two really good performances. Although we hadn't won any of those games, I was just hoping that kind of that wasn't interrupted by the Celtic game, and it wasn't. I think we made a good fist of it. We stopped them playing, and obviously sort of. I don't think we did enough to actually win the game. I was bantering with my Celtic supporting mates that I didn't think that we'd won enough. We'd done enough during the game to actually kind of take anything from it. But at the end of the day, the red card won them the game, given the fact that sort of again it was one of their mistakes that was going to put Ross Tierney through in goal with basically an open goal. So kind of he had to take the red card, which you would have definitely took if it was other way about. But it was a decent enough performance, which set us up for Tuesday night. So I really, really happy.
And certainly a moment of controversy at the end. You've got Ross Tierney going clear through and goal, wiped out by Callum McGregor. The Celtic captain took a red card. But in that position, you're kind of hoping that Tierney would have went straight through and Joe Hart and slotted the ball away, getting us an unlikely point. The cynical one, the kind of one that I'm sure many listening would agree that you would take it if it was in your side, but it's a bit of a frustrating one when it happens against you.
100%, mate. That's what I was saying. I was saying kind of you would hope that one of your players would do that in the same position. Because the thing is, I genuinely don't think he was going through one on one with Hart, because Hart was out his box and to the right of him, and obviously sort of the other defender was 15 yards to the left of him. So as I genuinely believe, kind of, and Hart had his back to me running back trying to get any goals. So I genuinely think it wasn't even a case he had to lift it over him or kind of put it round him. It's, I genuinely think, if he just had to stroke it into basically an empty net. So I it's one you would have took. And it's one that's a wee bit frustrating, but sort of overall coming away with a 2-1, kind of, yeah, you would have kind of snapped hands off before the game for that. given the sort of run of games that we're then going to go on. So I overall satisfied with the performance. And as I said, I think that set is up for Tuesday. So all good.
An interesting one in the sense you watched the Celtic Leipzig game last night in the same circumstances for the Leipzig first goal, where you get someone breaking from a Celtic corner and ends up going clean through and goal. Callum McGregor had the opportunity. He was the one that gave the ball away as well, actually. But he had the opportunity to take him down in the halfway line and opted not to do it. And it's almost kind of, he maybe learned a lesson from Saturday, but possibly not the right lesson, because if he had taken the boy down, he would have got a yellow card in this instance. And Celtic perhaps wouldn't have went 1-0 down. So a strange one there.
Yeah. I don't know whether when I was watching that and I saw it, and I kind of thought, you know, taking a red card and missing Premier League games is different from thinking you might be kind of taking a red card in the Champions League and missing Champions League games. That was what went through my mind. But
yeah,
obviously,
I think Paul Lambert said at half time that he thought that he really needed to make the tackle as well. And I suppose that was kind of Paul Lambert's style, wasn't it? He would have tackled his granny, but I thought the opportunity was there for McGregor to wipe him out, and he didn't do it. But anyway, let's stop talking about the Celtic captain and talk about Tuesday night and how good it was.
Yes.
That said, we exchanged text messages at half time. We were both pretty set on the fact the game was utterly rotten. There was only one shot on target, I believe, in the first half, and that was Kevin Van Veen converting his penalty. He's been fairly prolific from the spot, albeit he did miss one against Dundee United. It gave us the momentum going into the second half, and what a second half it was, Jaffa. We absolutely swept them away. Everything clicked into place. It was one of those nights that we'll look back on with a great deal of fondness, and it could just be that turning point where games previously that we've been on the end of a narrow defeat, or even the Hearts game, for instance, where you lose 3-0, but you've played really well. Dundee United, where you did so many chances but not been able to take any. Everything clicked into place, and that could be the impetus that we need to go on to what is going to be a really difficult run of games, but ones that will now have found that belief that we can compete in. And not only that, we can come out and top in.
You would certainly like to think so, and it's kind of, it's funny that you sort of mentioned the previous games, and it's kind of, I sent a message to I've got a group of mates that are Hearts fans, and I've got a mate who's a Dundee United fan, and I sent them the sort of same message. I said, you know, kind of magnificent result last night, sort of 1-5-0 away from home, but we didn't play as well as we did in the Dundee United or the Hearts game that we got beat 3-0. To kind of sum up to Alex Ferguson's famous quote, but bloody hell, it really was kind of one of those that kind of while we absolutely blew them away in the second half, it's like I don't think we hit the heights that we sort of set ourselves against Dundee United and Hearts, but it was just utterly magnificent. It's in the first half, as you said, kind of sort of, I think it was, that was a text I'd sent you. There was one shot and goal in the first half, which was from the penalty spot. And you never thought we looked in any danger in the first half. Although, kind of, again, we weren't creating anything, but the second half, you like to think that kind of Hamill sort of put a rocket up them, and they've come out and kind of just absolutely blasted out the kind of starting blocks in kind of the second half, and we just went straight at them and didn't give them a minute. I was really pleased. Obviously, Kevin Van Veen scoring a hat trick, it's like that's kind of, it's not his first, that won't be his last. He's a fantastic player and kind of fantastic finisher. But I was really, really, really pleased for the performance Joe Effort put in. I obviously sort of, you always give your star man to the man that scores a hat trick, but it's like basically Joe Effort had a hand in every goal that he was on the park for. I was really happy to see him getting a goal that he so richly deserved. on the night. And again, kind of, I've been quite bullish with Joe Effort. It's like I see a player in him, see a guy that kind of that sort of while kind of during the Alexander era were kind of generally terrible. Joe Effort, kind of, who maybe wasn't as good a player as some of the other guys in the team at the time, was always kind of knocking his pan in and giving you 110%. So I was really, really pleased for him and the performance he put in. It gives the manager kind of faith in sort of selecting him. Just absolutely unbelievable. Kind of, I was watching it and just couldn't kind of quite. Sort of understand kind of where that second half came from after such a terrible first half. But as you sort of so rightly said, that kind of me and Pepe were saying, given the amount of chances that we're creating, that somebody was in for a hammering. And kind of brilliant. Hopefully it kind of continues to Saturday and we do the same to Hibs as well. So outstanding, mate. Absolutely outstanding.
I think I properly went full circle in Joe Effort, because I didn't really see much hope for him in the Motherwell team from his performances in the back end of the season, in all honesty, and then into this season. Albeit he did come up with the odd goal, but he seems a much more rounded player than he showed under Graham Alexander, going on recent performances. And it's really impressive. I think that Stevie Hamill would have come in with a preconceived notion of what these guys were going to be like, but he's given these guys also the opportunity to impress him, and Effort has been one of the standouts so far this season. Was there anyone else that caught your eye? I would imagine outside the Kevin Van Veen and Joe Effort, a certain midfielder that made his comeback appearance might have slightly impressed as well.
Very much so, very much so. And kind of, it's had sort of, obviously it's all come out now, what had been going on, and it's had, I kind of got the lowdown sort of after the game last night of what had been going on with Callum Slattery, and kind of obviously some of very sad, some of very concerning, kind of what he was up to and stuff like that. But kind of given the fact of when he scored, given the reaction that the rest of the team had towards him, you can see that kind of it meant a lot to everybody within the club that he's back and playing and doing well. It's kind of absolutely delighted for him, because as I think with him and Goss sort of in the midfield just gives you so much kind of creativity. And there, I've been kind of obviously been really impressed with Goss over the last couple of weeks as well. But sort of having Callum Slattery back in there kind of really, I think, made all the difference. And again, as I said, absolutely delighted for him to see him score a goal. And as I said, it just looked as if it meant so much to everybody sort of involved in the club. And you sort of seen the messages sort of on social media after it from people involved in the club and stuff like that. You could just tell that kind of everybody's just so pleased for him. So that was brilliant. It was great to see.
Yeah, and it's always a difficult one when something like this comes up relating to Motherwell, and knowing how to approach it and kind of maintain a degree of sensitivity and also cover it at the same time, because we can't ignore the fact that there is a lot in the press, or there has been a lot in the press over the last 48 hours relating to Callum Slattery. But I think that the overriding feeling I've got on the situation is, while the story documented few misdemeanours that certainly don't lend themselves well to Callum's persona or anything else, and this is a guy that I must confess I had no dealings with whatsoever, his behaviour on that particular night was clearly shocking. But as a 23-year-old footballer we're talking about here, as it stands, he's got his whole career ahead of him. He clearly is remorseful for his actions. He said as much himself. It's now a case of, firstly, dealing with the personal grief that he's going through just now. And, of course, it goes without saying that we wish him all the best with that. And he keeps his head down and works hard. And I've got no doubts that he will do that. The rest of it, and there'll be plenty that will want to offer opinions upon the situation. I'm sure if you log into any of the message boards just now, you'll get plenty of different takes. And I'm not saying that mine's is right and everyone else's is wrong or vice versa, but it's just my take on it is that it's a delicate one, and my over than emotion is one of. I'm pleased that Carl's back playing football and doing what he loves. Hopefully, what happened last November was merely just a slip up, and he can make amends for those actions. It does explain some of the absences from the team last year, and that must have been a difficult one for Graeme Alexander to have to explain on a weekly basis or a bi-weekly basis why Callum Slattery wasn't featuring as much as people might have imagined he would have been. But yeah, I don't really have much more to add to it, Jaffa. I'm not sure whether you're the same or whether you really goes deeper.
All I would say is that obviously kind of there's the sort of two stories that have come out, and it's kind of I think it would be silly not to sort of link the two of them and sort of say that one led to the other. But kind of again, it's not great behaviour, but kind of given what it may have been linked to, because it sort of sounds as if he's not a big drinker, sort of, and that one thing may have led to the other, which led to the sort of frankly awful behaviour. But I'm glad that it's now passed, and it certainly seems as if the club have drawn a line under it, and he's sort of accepted his punishment. It sounds very kind of very contrite in all the statements I've sort of read from him. And it's he goes back to playing football, but can I what can I you just think back to what you were like as a 23-year-old, and with so much going on sort of round about him, it's like can I've got absolutely no doubt that I was behaving much worse than that a lot of weekends. Kind of not just as a one-off, so I just wish him well, and kind of, and it's as I said, it was heartening to see the reaction from the rest of the team, because it shows that kind of he's not been sort of hung out to dry by the team or anything like that. So it sort of seems as if he's quite a popular character around about the dressing room, and hopefully the team will sort of help him get over this and get on with playing football.
Yeah, that's it. And then I think that where the club always excel is they do deal with a lot of things behind closed doors. A lot of this is stuff that doesn't really need to be in the. And in terms of his own personal struggles, that doesn't need to be broadcast for everyone to be aware of. And I'm sure the club, with the brilliant staff they've got within there, will support Callum through it. And yeah, that's it. It's just like to kind of almost draw a line under it for this podcast as well. Just wishing him all the best, really. Let's look ahead to Saturday's trip to Easter Road. Jaffa, as mentioned, the fixture list isn't going to get any easier. We've got difficult fixtures right up until the World Cup break. But given the performance in Dingwall on Tuesday night, I'm sure it's one that the players at this moment in time will be absolutely relishing.
I definitely think kind of we're going to the game kind of supremely confident. Certainly kind of obviously the team that started and finished the game on Tuesday night kind of are given sort of Stevie Hamill headaches and team selection, which has got to be a great thing for a manager. But I it's kind of well you've mentioned that sort of this kind of horror run of fixtures coming up, but I think sort of given the performances over the last four games, it's like I think there's nothing to fear going to Easter Road. It's as you said, we have had a mixed bag at Easter Road. It's not a kind of fortress in any way. So it's you go into the game again, sort of with a bit of confidence and just hoping that kind of everything breaks our way and kind of we can maybe put them to the sword as well. But I'm getting into it. I'm really looking forward to the game. It's I think kind of both teams again sort of play quite attacking football. So hopefully it will be an open game and kind of hopefully again we'll create a lot of chances and take a bundle of them again on Saturday. So I'm just really looking forward to it, mate.
What about Hibs, Jaffa? They've been a bit of a mixed bag so far this season. Obviously, under new management, Lee Johnson's come in and when he's had some success, he's had points as well where they just look like kind of same old Hibs side that struggled for the majority of last season. It's a bit of a tricky one to know what to expect, albeit they have had a few better results in the last couple of weeks.
I mean, obviously, sort of league tables and points don't lie and stuff like that, and they are kind of flying high. But some of the stuff that I've seen from them, though, as you say, sort of when they're on their game, they're fairly impressive. But kind of there's a couple of games where it's like it's I genuinely think they've come up against teams who were dreadful, like particularly dreadful against them. Which has led to them getting kind of 3 points. So obviously, you can only beat what's in front of you, but I think sort of they have got a wee bit lucky in some games. But it's kind of you know that it's probably going to be a hard game because, as I said, kind of we've now sort of got this expansive attacking kind of style, and it's I think they're the same, and it's I think kind of both of us probably the most suspect part of our game is in defence. So it's they have some really, really sort of rapid guys playing up front for them and stuff like that. So it's, I think we've got to be careful, but it's a game that we don't have to be frightened get into. I always hate sort of facing one of our ex-players who is kind of having a decent season, kind of, and that's the case this weekend. Obviously, Chris Carden's sort of been having quite a decent season for them, so that always worries me. But other than that, it's you go into it sort of with kind of more hope than expectation, but sort of on the back of what we've been producing, I'm really looking forward to it.
Didn't really foresee a great deal of change to the starting 11 that they squared off against Ross County.
Unless there's any kind of lingering doubts about sort of people playing so many games within a week, I kind of envisage sort of almost exactly the same starting 11, unless MD's sort of suffering from a wee niggle. But I kind of yeah, and you wouldn't be upset about it. I would maybe be tempted to kind of put Mo into to kind of try and start Mo. As I always sort of think that kind of guys who are on the bench should at least be fat enough to start a game. And I kind of know that people are saying, you know, he's not had sort of 90 minutes. But it's, I think, kind of putting him on for the start and kind of letting him play 50, 60 minutes. And then if he tires, you can take him off. But kind of, I think you get more of an impact rather than kind of waiting to the last half hour, 25 minutes putting him on. But that's just a personal thing because I would love to see him back, and I'd love to see him scoring regularly. Obviously, kind of referees are sort of ganging up on him just now to kind of chop off all the goals he scores.
I thought the one on Tuesday night was particularly unlucky, to be honest with you. I didn't see a great deal wrong with it. The Hearts one is off by a toenail, so it certainly shows he's still got that sharpness in front of goal. It just needs to stand for him to get up and running, and he's particularly unfortunate just now that we've got forward players that are playing exceptionally well and don't merit in any way being taken out of the team. I'm sure that the opportunities will come, especially in that triple header where we face Rangers, Celtic and then Aberdeen. You'd think that the toll that'll take in the squad should be quite significant. So there will be opportunities for the guys that are chapping at the bit and looking to get into the side. So yeah, I don't have
Definitely.
any worries about the fact that he's not he's not scored yet because at the end of the day, he's had what 40, 50 minutes of accumulated game time across three different games. It can't be much more than that.
No, I don't think there is. But what was kind of quite pleasing to see on Tuesday night was as kind of Van Veen was scoring goals, kind of when the subs were out, sort of warming up. Kind of Moat was one of the first to go and celebrate with him, which you kind of always sort of I always kind of like to see that kind of rather than kind of a huffy striker sort of kind of like kicking the ground and stuff like that when the other striker's scoring when they're out kind of because obviously they weren't on the park. I think that kind of speaks volumes of him as well. The fact that he was kind of really really happy that the team had scored and that kind of he's. The guy's fighting for a place against the scoring, but can I was quite happy to see that.
Yeah, that's it. And I think that there can be a little doubt that Louis Moult's presence around the place has certainly brought out the best in Kevin Van Veen, who is already well on track to beat last season's goal scoring tally. And long may that continue. He's getting in the habit of scoring the hat trick as well, which is not one that we're that used to, but certainly could welcome.
He's in the hunt for the golden boot, mate.
That's it. There's no reason. As the confidence starts to build, you've had strikers in the past that Motherwell that have well into two figures and beyond. So, by now, it sounds like I've suggested that someone scored three figures in one season. I'm pretty sure that didn't happen, but
52 is the record, mate. But it's can
the 20 goals
anything
plus
could
is
happen.
realistic.
Aye, I mean anything could happen, especially if the refs keep favouring us with penalties.
Yeah, it used to be they favoured them for booking them in every game, but now it seems to be that they award the team a penalty that you can convert. So it's a much better habit to have than the one they had last season. Long may it
Definitely.
continue. Mate, I think that's pretty much all we've got for tonight. Thank you very much for your company.
No worries, mate. Always a pleasure, mate.
We'll come back at some point next week to review the Hibs game and then look forward to that triple header, which will take up much of the following week. But yeah, looking forward to this run of games. I was a wee bit pessimistic last week, but now I know that we can give a team a doing. I'm just expecting it every week now. So I'm preparing to be disappointed again because, yeah, I now think we're an absolute unstoppable juggernaut. You've been listening to MFC Podcast. We'll be back in around about a week's time. Until then, thank you and goodbye.
Skins and journeymen, hey yay, hey yay, my sisters and my brethren, the time is coming near. Come yay, come yay, to soulless corporate circus tops. Come yay, to toilet circuit touring stops. Come yay, to bedrooms, bars and bunker squats, the sound. It was rock and roll. in the Saints. Yeah, in Jerry Lee and in Johnny and all the greats. I still believe in the sound that has the power to raise a temple and tear it down. And I still believe in the need for guitars and drums and desperate poetry. And I still believe that everyone can find a song for every time they've lost and every time they've won. Rock and roll.